This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
Our guest, Anita Finley, was first on this program November 1st of last year, and she has fast become a listener favorite because people in the emails that I get are telling me that we have good conversations, even though that she would be considered a liberal, I would be considered a conservative. If we were designating ourselves politically, she would be a Democrat and I would be a Republican. But neither of us are either of those because we both decided to turn our backs on the two major political parties for a number of reasons. And it's basically clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I happily am in the independent middle with you. Joining us on the program, Anita Finley. She's an author, actress, blogger. You've probably seen her on 24, The Young and the Restless. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction, Jerry. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
I enjoy talking to you. And seriously, the emails that I get are
Oh, we're going to be on the outtake reel this week.
Yeah, you know,
That's exciting.
Right. They want to not like you because the conservatives would say, well, I don't want to agree with her or like her because of what she says about X, Y, or Z. But they do appreciate the way you present it and the fact that you make really good, reasoned, logical arguments to back up what it is that you're saying. It's not just all emotion. There is a lot of logic that gets tied in with it.
Well, you know something? That's the only way when I wrote the book in the first place, I realized I had to come from a bipartisan point of view, because even if I'm writing as a supporter of someone who, you know, I supported Hillary Clinton in 2008, for example, you know, the book is not written in a way, rah-rah this and, you know, Democrats good, Republicans evil. It's not anything about that. What I wrote was sort of a roadmap to dissecting media bias and understanding the kind of brainwashing that you and I, whether we're on the left, the right, or anywhere in the middle, that we get on a daily basis, how it shapes the narrative. And now that these, you know, the jokers on the right and whoever, you know, or the clowns on the left, as you say, they are not only reporting the news, they are making it, they are driving it, they are creating opinion, and they are turning it into fact. And I remember there's an article I just read the other day. They are still harping on something they said in 2008 that was a fiction then but has become a fact now.
And I've read your latest piece at your website, AnitaFinley.com, about the sycophantic press has itself to blame for Obama's AP scandal. Now, obviously, there's some concerns that people have about a government that would want to oppress media or to try and get them to just write what it is that they want them to say, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House, Democrat or Republican administration. But as you point out in your piece, that you say this, the genuine, in quotes, outrage that is coming from the media is too little too late.
Absolutely. They are responsible. Look, you know, the word enabling is something that's used in the psychology field. It's used everywhere. And it applies to a coworker. It applies to a spouse, to a parent, to a child, an adult, whatever. And it applies when somebody is bullying, when someone is alcoholic, when somebody is doing something bad and not taking responsibility for their behavior. And the other person is not making them take responsibility. You keep bailing them out, covering for them. It's like dropping your hot dog and somebody acts like you just climbed a mountain. Nice. You know, when you have all due respect to our president, when you have somebody in the Senate who's only been there for 2 years and you put out magazine covers, as Time magazine did, among others, that paints him as somebody who is JFK, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, excuse me, all rolled into one. I mean, look at the expectations they're creating, but they at all points drove a narrative to make the American people believe that he could really fulfill the fantastical fictions of his campaign promises. So what they have done, in effect, is not only, never mind ruining their own credibility, but by driving this narrative and cowing all comers with the race card or racial guilt or whatever have you, whatever they could use, and going at the other candidates three times as hard and giving him softball questions, they have enabled him to feel that he can move mountains on the force of his own personality. And of course, who isn't going to believe your own press? And any politician would be a fool not to take advantage of such great good fortune. But what happens as a result is the media, they no longer are watchdogs. They turn into, forgive me, lapdogs. And they just become what I called in the article figurative notches on the presidential bedpost. And here's a funny story for you, Jerry. When Barack Obama was elected, at the first correspondence dinner that happens every year, and, you know, the press comes in and they all get dressed up and they all have a good laugh about how wonderful they all are, President Obama made this joke at Brian Williams' expense. Now, you may remember that Brian Williams did an interview with Barack Obama, and at the end of it, he literally bowed his head. Now, I think we have to show the utmost respect to all of our elected leaders, but we do not genuflect. We do not have royalty in this country. We do not do that. So Barack Obama made this joke. He said, you know, I was thinking of enacting this new policy. I was lying in bed one night, and as I was mulling it over, I rolled over and asked Brian what he thought.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wondered to myself what Brian Williams was sitting there thinking. Now, this man has elevated himself to the network anchor of one of the major three networks. I wonder how he feels. I'm on the outtake reel, too. I'm on the
right,
blooper,
that's all right.
Too, see? How he felt about being, you know, ridiculed like that. But they have set themselves up, and now they want to express outrage that their records have been invaded. They have given him this kind of power.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to Michael Jackson's publicist shortly after he died. Not the publicist, Michael Jackson. But and he was talking about how Michael Jackson systematically went about disabling all the smoke alarms in his life. And that as those smoke alarms would be going off, you know, you see the jokes where people are taking the broomstick and they're beating it off the ceiling, or they're finding out a way to smash it so that it doesn't keep chirping. In a certain way, the press is the smoke alarm, and there's a reason the smoke alarm is going off. It's because there's smoke, and if there's smoke, there's probably a fire, and if there's a fire, you should probably respond to it. But when the press is the smoke alarm that's been disabled or knocked off the ceiling with the broomstick, then we don't have anybody out there telling us that there's something wrong, or take a look over here. Maybe it's something as simple as you need a new 9-volt battery. Maybe it is that simple. Or maybe there's a raging fire that needs to be attended to.
Well, bingo, but here's the other thing, and this is with all due respect to Barack Obama. He, I believe, would have been a far better candidate, and should he have gotten the nomination, which at that point is dubious, had he had a real vetting and people had gone at him hard. But let's say he did get it anyway. Let's say he won anyway. I think he'd be a better president today, because when you have a press that is holding you in check and you really have to get out there and answer for yourself, you can't get away with these backdoor deals. I mean, there was something in the Affordable Care Act when they were just sort of, you know, pushing it, ramming it, I should say, down the American gullet and pushing it through Congress behind closed doors, I might add, which is in contravention to their big claims of transparency. There was an article about high-risk pools and the unintended consequences of them. And it was in the New York Times, and it was on page A18, below the fold, on a Saturday. So you get my drift. I mean, you know, they covered it up at every turn and didn't make the information available to the American people. At least tell us what's coming out there. And I guess, you know, as a former Democrat, now independent, the reason I take the greatest umbrage about this is that Barack Obama presented himself as exactly the opposite of this. He presented himself as wanting to preside over the most transparent of administrations, and now all you get is the I don't know factor. Oh, I never heard of that. I don't know this. Well, why would you want somebody up there who's saying I don't know all the time? This makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Do you think, by the way, Anita Finlay is with us on the program. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all the usual suspects. Her website is Anita Finlay, FINLAY.com, where you can get her latest article about a sycophantic press has itself to blame for Obama's AP scandal. With all the scandals that have been happening, and I was watching the press conferences over the last couple of weeks, and in particular, I was watching Jessica Yellen on CNN almost yelling at the White House hoax person, Jay Carney, that we want answers. Do you think that maybe the press that is now coming to realize that they've been in a certain way duped by this president, and that maybe they realize that the reason they went to J school or the reason that they've been a field reporter for as long as they have is something much different than what they've been doing other than basking in the glory of all things Obama?
Well, I think that part of it really, you know, something, there's no way to get to somebody faster than when it affects you in the pocketbook and when it affects you in your ego. And I remember distinctly when Dana Milbank in 2008, he wrote one column saying that Obama as a candidate finally had a tough press conference in March. And you know why? Because the writer's strike had just ended and SNL did a skit making fun of him and putting him sitting behind the White House, you know, as if he were already elected, taking a hungry drag on a cigarette. And he was calling Hillary Clinton, who was sitting in curlers with her face covered in a mud mask. And he was asking her what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And being made fun of like that, and they were also laughing at the softball coverage. They don't like being laughed at.
Yeah.
And that is really the motivator here. But unfortunately, you know, if it leads to them getting up off the stick and doing their jobs, I'll take it. And
yeah,
that's true for any administration. But
I'm
the
just...
fact is that they have damaged themselves by staying silent for 6 years.
Right, but they're going to want a certain amount of redemption. I think at some point they have to go, oh, my God, I can't believe what we've been doing. Most people seem to think they're going to go right back to doing what they were doing. But I'm just wondering, at the time that we started to see the IRS story break, and that was really, it's still a major story.
Sure.
And getting bigger by the day, seemingly, and I hope the Republicans don't overplay it like they did with Bill Clinton, because that's going to come to backfire on them. But when I see what the press is doing, it's almost as if to me at that point in time, it was the end of the celebrity president. And it was the beginning of a president who was going to have to start to act more presidential, because the entourage, so to speak, of the press corps was going to be looking at him much differently and not letting him get away with his usual gimmicks, tricks, and sleights of hand.
You know something, that is completely possible, Jerry, but here's the one problem with that. This has already transpired. You have already put yourself in a position where the DOJ is already threatening you and threatening fellow journalists and making, as I believe Dana Milbank or Glenn Greenwald of Guardian UK both said, it's hard to just do the typical action of regular news gathering. And this has been going on, you know, for 5 years, where if you didn't report the way they liked you to report, you were simply thrown off the plane. It was that simple. You were off the press plane. You were not traveling with them. So I guess my question to you is, do you think even if they are aching for redemption now so that they regain some credibility, you know, is it too little too late? Can they do this? Because we are so glamorized as a society. We are so into celebrity and wanting to be at the fancy dinner that so many times for the seven-figure book deal, they have traded credibility for access. And I wonder, is it just going to be a little bluster for a couple of months? And as you are fond of pointing out on your show, you know, that there's not accountability typically, and it may go back to business as usual. So I'm not sure about that, I guess.
But to answer that question, I think if I was one of those press pool reporters that had been kind of sucking up to the president and his administration, I'd have to come to the decision, do I want to be Mike Wallace or do I want to be Larry King? You know, Larry King would never burn a guest because he always wanted to know who the guest knew and have access and to be just there. And you know, God bless him with the long and storied career that he had. But then there's also, you know, the Mike Wallace of old, in the days when it was the worst thing that you could possibly hear. 60 Minutes is here to see you. And I think a lot of people in the press are going to have to make that decision. Are you willing to burn a contact? Are you willing to burn a guest? Are you willing to burn an interview? Are you willing to burn something to get to the story? And I think a lot of people in the press might be wondering, you know, do they want to just be a part of the entourage, or do they want to be the one that's actually working towards the Pulitzer?
Well, you know something, you do have a few, you know, it's not like you don't have any honorable apples out there who are aiming at exactly what you just said. you know, you have Cheryl Atkinson of CBS. I think Jake Tapper of CNN. You have Kirsten Powers, who's a commentator who has consistently shown courage in stepping away from the herd mentality of, you know, one side or the other. And, you know, there are certainly honorable actors out there who are attempting to do just that. It's just that, you know, when you have the DOJ threatening people, you know, unless that is dismantled somehow, I don't know how many people are going to be able to get through, because it does become, doesn't it, like a Frankenstein run amok.
But if people know that Jerry Doyle has Anita Finlay's back and vice versa, now we got two people. We're standing back to back, shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to say, bring it. And I think people have to start to adopt that mentality, that it doesn't matter if you're the DOJ. It doesn't matter if you're the IRS. It doesn't matter if you're the NSA, the DOD, or the DIA. It doesn't matter, because we're not doing anything wrong. And damn it, we're going to stand here and we're going to claim our turf, and we're not going to let you intimidate us. Now, sure, there are going to be some people that are going to be picked apart and picked over, and in certain ways have their lives messed up and in maybe some cases ruined in the case of whistleblowers. But we've got to send the message back, Anita, that we're not a bunch of cowards. We're not going to take this. We are going to stand up and demand that we're a constitutional republic. The rule of law matters. John and Jane Q. Public are important, and we're not pawns on a chessboard that here to protect the royalty and watch some kind of celebrity reality political game show play out. Damn it, I just said it.
That's why I love talking to you, Jerry, because we're here beating the same drum, and amen to that.
Amen to that. Anita Finlay, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Check out her latest at her website, AnitaFinlay.com. A sycophantic press has itself to blame for Obama's AP scandal. Once again, AnitaFinlay.com. And her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. We'll do it again soon, Anita.
Anytime, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Thanks much. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.